Pamela, this month's Bank on Yourself Nation cover story is focused on small business owners and what lessons they can learn from the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009. The whole goal is, of course, to be better prepared for the next inevitable economic recession or downturn. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we jump into those specifics, I'm hoping you can take a minute to explain to our listeners why there is such a strong correlation between the types of individuals who are attracted to the Bank on Yourself program and the type of individuals who own their own businesses.
Well, of course, people who go into a business for themselves are, by definition, self-reliant, independent-minded, and they like to be in control of their own destinies. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be crazy enough to go into business for themselves. And I know from myself, you know, I'm a business owner, and that was certainly what drove me to go into business for myself. And I know you have your own businesses, and it was your motivation as well. So Bank on Yourself is perfectly correlated because it is about banking on yourself, about being in control in many ways, one of which, of course, is the ability to have access to financing when you want it for whatever you want on your terms.
So really, Bank on Yourself is both a literal way of financing your business and a figurative expression of self-reliance and independent-mindedness.
That's correct.
Well, in our story, we really came across some startling statistics concerning just how difficult it's been for small business owners to obtain financing through conventional sources, really starting back in 2008, and even to renew existing lines of credit. Just how difficult has it been?
In 2009, 55% of all small employers had attempted to obtain credit, and more than half of them failed, and that's according to the National Federation of Independent Business. A third of those owners seeking to renew their existing lines of credit were rejected. Among more than 61,000 businesses that filed for bankruptcy during the 12-month period ending March 31st of this year, which is 2010, a lot of them just ran empty on what you call fiscal fuel. And in fact, there was a piece on CBS 60 Minutes very recently that said that lending to small businesses is actually declining. And in the second quarter of 2010, lending to small businesses and farms dropped by $13 billion. And they pointed out that 3 years after the beginning of the Great Recession, with interest rates the lowest that they've ever been in history, banks are lending less money to the engines that create jobs.
This recession really had a special characteristic that basically anybody who is alive today can't remember because it hasn't happened in any previous recession in recent years, and that is the 1-2 punch that came with the collapse of housing prices besides the recession. When housing prices collapsed, a lot of homeowners ended up underwater. That means they were holding mortgages larger than the now depressed market value of their homes. But that had an interesting and unforeseen ripple effect on small business owners. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. More than 90% of small business owners also own their own homes. And in past recessions, the net worth of their homes was like gold when it came to securitizing financing for their businesses. Now, this time, home ownership actually hurt the creditworthiness of small business owners because, as you pointed out, they were underwater and banks were saying, sorry, we can't loan to you.
So it's really been between the proverbial rock and a hard place. I mean, banks aren't lending. Credit card companies are shrinking their lines and not offering as many new lines. Home loans became out of the question, and you would think that that would grind all small businesses to a halt, and yet many tens of thousands of small businesses, you know, small business owners, professionals, entrepreneurs, they still found ways to finance their operations and their capital purchases. How'd they do it?
Well, they did it the way small business owners have always done it in America, which is that they're both very resilient and very creative. That's what makes us small business owners. And among the non-traditional sources that they looked to were things like factoring, bartering, crowdfunding, vendor financing, family loans, and even pawn shops.
And we found, when we did our interviews for this month's cover story, three small business owners who utilize their whole life insurance policies which in this case was established for them by authorized bank-on-yourself advisors. And they were able to get the financing they needed. Amazingly, they did so without ever facing a loan committee. They never had to submit personal or business financial statements. It was really sort of pain-free. How does that work?
Yeah, it's wonderful when people find out that you have no loan committees, you don't have to do any begging, there's none of those nosy applications, and you cannot be turned down for a loan. In fact, there's really only one question they ask you when you go to borrow from the equity in your policy, and that is, how much do you want?
That's a nice kind of question to be asked.
Yeah, and then they follow it up, and where do you want us to send it? But there's a lot of reasons why people do, and business owners in particular, hold whole life policies in their business names. And a very popular one is for key executive insurance or buy-sell agreements, and also as an alternative to traditional retirement plans. And still others take out policies consistent with the bank-on-yourself concept for themselves individually or for their family members. But in either instance, when it's structured correctly by a bank-on-yourself authorized advisor, these small business owners can lend themselves money from the cash value of their policies, as you noted, without ever facing a loan committee. And better yet, as I explain in my book and on the Bank on Yourself website, these loans allow small business owners to pay themselves back on their timetables with interest. And they also are able to take these loans as well as income from the plan tax advantaged. And one of the things that I found perhaps most interesting is people will say, well, are you paying interest on your loans? Well, yes, you're paying interest on your loans. However, the interest you pay ends up back in your policy. And some companies even offer a feature that lets you receive the same guaranteed increase plus any dividends on the money you borrowed. So your money is actually working for you in two places at once at the same time. And I guess the final point I'd make about this is that for most business owners, their policies are also doubling as a way to have a guaranteed and predictable income stream in retirement while giving them ready access to capital when and how they need it.
Pamela, you know, that's kind of like metaphysics. I mean, your money can sort of be working for you in two places at once, and that's kind of cool. Quantum physics, I guess. You know, if anything came out of all the research we did, it's that the time for small business owners to start preparing for the next economic downturn is really now. That those small business owners that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago set themselves up with good financial planning and cash flow ahead of time did fairly well. Those who started responding when the recession hit were in trouble. Isn't that the case?
It is. You do have to plan ahead for this, and really the best time to start planning is now, because we don't know really what's happening with the economy. It appears to be improving. However, there's going to be another economic downturn or downturns. It's just a question of when. These are the cycles that our economy goes through. I actually went through a massive business expansion during the recession, and I talked to many of my business owner colleagues, and they were all complaining about how no matter how good their relationships with bankers had been for 20, I know the president of this bank, I've known him for 20 years, I know the president of this one for 20 years, and I went to them, and they wouldn't loan me a dime, even though I have a perfect credit history. And I was telling them, wow, you know, I just went to my policies and said, how much can I get? And I had the capital that I needed to expand my business. So, you know, when a recession or a hard time does materialize, you need that cash. It's the oxygen that every small business owner requires to survive. And dividend-paying whole life policies, such as those that are supercharged, they have supercharged cash value growth that are offered by bank-on-yourself authorized advisors, can be a true godsend to have in a recession or even in good times. But for them to work well, they have to have time to accumulate some cash value before the need arises. These policies do accumulate cash value much faster than traditionally designed policies, however, so it's not like you have to wait 5 or 10 years to be able to do that.
Right. I mean, in fact, it can be even a year or two, right?
Yes, we do have business owners who have used, there are ways to accumulate more capital in the policy sooner. And we have business owners who have been able to use their policies in the first or second year.
You know, one of the individuals who stood out among those we interviewed was this very impressive, successful veterinarian in Texas who basically told us that he kind of had to be dragged to his very first meeting with a Bank on Yourself authorized advisor. He had the stereotype of what a whole life insurance salesperson would be like, and really it was only at the urging of his wife that he agreed to go visit with a Bank on Yourself authorized advisor. And I think that probably a lot of people who think there is some kind of a disconnect between a state-of-the-art, really sophisticated, intelligent way for small business owners to self-finance and the word whole life insurance. And I wonder, the vet we talked to, he became a big fan of the Bank on Yourself program after it saved him a huge chunk of the $36,000 in annual interest that he had in paying. What is involved in terms of getting together with a Bank on Yourself advisor? How boring or painful is it? And why is it that so many people do it and are happy about it?
Well, you know, I've always said that most people would rather have a root canal without anesthesia than go talk to a life insurance agent.
That's because they've never gone and talked to a Bank on Yourself.
That's
right.
That's right. It's a very different experience with a Bank on Yourself advisor. In fact, you know, clients refer people all the time without even being asked to their Bank on Yourself advisor because they're really experts. They're highly trained experts in many aspects of helping people grow their businesses. And, you know, calling them an insurance salesman is kind of like calling a drugstore pharmacist a sales clerk. I mean, both statements are technically true, but neither does justice to the professionalism and service that these experts provide. And small business owners who consult with a Bank on Yourself authorized advisor will learn a great deal about how to manage their overall cash flow, capital investments, employee benefits, personal savings, and a lot more. And really, whole life insurance is an important component in the planning, but the authorized advisors are business savvy and share their vast experience at no cost. What other seasoned and successful business consultant can do that?
And no dentist can give that advice, even if they can give a root canal, correct?
That's true.
Anyway, well, thanks for your time on this podcast, and we will visit again soon. Until then, anybody who's interested in more information should visit bankonyourself.com or bankonyourselfnation.com, and we have a lot more information available at both sites. Thanks, Pamela.
Oh, you're welcome, and they can also request a referral to a Bank on Yourself authorized advisor at bankonyourself.com.
Absolutely. Thank you.